just a stone throw from the world's oldest winemaking facility, the Arenywine Cave, the vineyards of Zora can be found in a rural area of Vajazort, Armenia's classic winemaking region. Zora aims to re-establish the long history of Armenia for wines and to bring the nation onto the global market. It is not an easy task, but thanks to some very clever choices, the success is coming to their way. Armenia, much like other countries, has a few hundred varieties that are believed to be of local origin, and Yerez Garibian, our guest today, knew that working with those varieties would be essential to the success of his wine. We talk about why he decided to open his winery in Armenia, what are the difficulties that he encountered along the way, also explore the unique region of Vajazor with its high altitude, and the karas, the Armenian amphora, used for aging, and how he used them. We also spotlighted what other regions are producing wines in Armenia and what the future is looking like for them. Hi, I'm Mattia Scarpazza, and this is the Looking Into Wine podcast. Wine and winemaking can be complex, but this podcast has a simple mission. We want to give you the skills and tools to harness your passion about wine. Through this series, we will shine a spotlight on some of the different regions, processes, and concepts that shape the fascinating world of wine. I hope you enjoy the show and your own journey, Looking Into Wine. Welcome to Looking Into Wine. Today's guest is Zora Garibian, founder of Zora Wine. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Zorik.
Thank you to having me in your show.
So, Zorik, you opened your project in Armenia in 1999, and I wanted to ask what was the idea and why you decided to open a winery in Armenia.
That's a long story. That needs at least two days. Okay, I'm a diasporan Armenian. My initial plan was to have my vineyard and winery in Tuscany, but then Soviet collapsed and Armenia became independent. So I went to Armenia, and little by little I started to change my initial dream of Tuscany, also because Armenia was a virgin land, and more studies I did, more I noticed that there are great potentials there. And because there was nobody doing anything in Armenia was just became independent, so I decided to do something more challenging. So I decided for Armenia, to start it in Armenia.
And you set your winery near the Mount Ararat. I can't quite pronounce the region, which...
Vajazor.
Vajazor, which is in the south part of Armenia. What did attract you to this region?
First, I have to say that, obviously, as I say, I'm a diaspora in Armenia. So first time in Armenia, when I started to think of having my winery and vineyard, I started to check all the regions, north to south, east to west. Meanwhile, I was having fun as a tourist. And I was also checking the terroir, climates and everything. So I examined a lot before deciding for Vajazor. Vajazor, the choice for Vajazor is because historically, Vajazor is the wine growing region, is the quintessential wine growing region in Armenia. Even if, I must say this, in recent history, Vajazor region has been overlooked, because this is my interpretation, because Soviet times, they were more oriented, and the quantity was calling the shots. It was not about study of terroir, quality. It was more about where they can make more quantity, industrial. And but looking at Vajazor's topography, Vajazor, you got relatively small plots, abundance of stones, So it is a difficult terroir if you want to do quantity big industries. So it has been a lot overlooked. But Vajozor, I have to say this because the points of Vajozor is the highest altitude that you can find in Armenia. They are in Vajozor, my region. The vineyard starts from 1,100 meter of elevation above sea level till 1,600. And there is absence of any kind of industry. So it's all about nature. It's not all about vineyards. We got fantastic biodiversity. We got peaches, cherries, walnuts, apricots, you name it. We got everything there. And the most important thing for winemaking and vine growing is that there is that Phylloxera has never arrived to my region. There are other parts of Armenia that the Phylloxera has arrived. But my region, because also of isolation, we have never had the Phylloxera. So no human manipulation, no grafting. And we got, even today, all the plantations, not only in Zora, but all the region, is still, everything is on its own roots. And there are plenty of native varieties. That's another positive point about my region and also Armenia. We got plenty of native varieties that are coming to us from thousands of years because, as you know, it's Armenia has a millennial history, and it's not by chance that the oldest winery that dates back to 6,000 years ago is in Vajozor, and it happens to be my next-door neighbor.
Is the RNE1, I believe.
Yeah, RNE1 cave, a discovery done lately, not so many years ago, but I was there before them. I was there before the discovery, not before them. I was there before the discovery, so yeah. So it's not by chance that there are... No, there are also other testimonies of vine, ancient sites and things in Vajozor. So it is the quintessential. Having also all, as I said, the topography, the high altitudes and no Phylloxera varieties and everything is there.
Okay, absolutely. And you decided to work only with Armenian grapes, originally from Armenians. What grape have you got planted in the moment, and what are you learning to working from them?
Okay, I work with native varieties of Armenia. I must precise this point that it's we got lots of crossings from Soviet times. I'm not touching them. I'm more into varieties that are coming and they are there since ever. I'm more after those kind of varieties. And luckily, we got plenty of them. Mm-hmm. You were asking me what I learned from...
Yeah, well, what was unique to go there? Because you say that the region was new. You were basically working from scratch. Well, how was working with these new varieties? And what are you learning from that?
I think it's a learning that will never, is a lesson that has started and will never end, because I don't think in my lifetime I will arrive to the end of it. We got so many, plenty of varieties, even unknown to us. We got always surprises of new things coming up. I would like to call my region Garden of Eden. And I think it's got still to be discovered. It's got a great potential that has not been discovered. As I was saying, for millennium over there, there has been the vines. Actually, with one of the grape varieties that I'm working, pips and stems of grape has been found near amphoras in the oldest winery in the world. And with the analysis, the pips and stems are the DNA is the same one that one of the grape varieties, RNE, that I'm using now today, is related to that that peeps and stems from there. So that means that this grape variety, and this is not the only one. We got other sites, other grape varieties like Vosgerhat that I'm working is another site that with the peeps and stems, again, the DNA goes to this grape variety. That's 3,000 years old. The RNA1 cave is 6,000. So there are really millennial old, not grafted, no manipulation, native varieties that we are working, and because they have been there for so many long time, they have adapted fantastically to the harsh weathers, the climate that we have in the high mountains, and they are really pure and coming from our history. So I'm really glad to work with these varieties, and they have great potentials. Actually, this takes me to my new project. I've just started Heritage Project, Zora Heritage Project. With this project, because having all these varieties that they have great potentials, I'm trying to select the best of these varieties. And I'm doing experiments with micro fermentations, and I'm trying to understand the most appropriate way for aging and blending them. But unfortunately, several of these varieties are in verge of extinction. So the mission is to revive them, the ones on extinction, and the ones which are not known or nobody knows about them, to bring them in this collection of Zora Heritage that we are making and present them to the wine world lovers. And our first wine of the Heritage Project, which is with Chilar variety, is a native Armenian variety. To give you the example, Chilar didn't have any dedicated vineyards. So we have been among the rows trying to come up with this wine. And obviously now I have propagated in my vineyard. So it's a long...
It's a long project looking to recreate exactly. All these old traditions. And talking of old tradition, you also decide... You also work with the traditional Armenian amphoras, which are called karas. What are they like and how are they made?
Armenian karases, unfortunately, even today we don't give too much in Armenia. They don't have too much attention. The attention that they are, because this is our national heritage, but we are still, the sensibility is not still there. I hope in next coming years we will be more wineries will come and join me making wines in these vessels. These vessels basically are clay vessels, like you have them around the world. Other countries have them, the clay vessels, but our karases are obviously they are coming, they are coming to us from history, so they have specific forms that they are different from other amphoras around the world. I always say that I've seen so many other nations' amphoras that they are beautiful, but the Armenian karases, I think among the clay jars are the sexiest, because they are longevo, I don't know how to say it in English, slim and high, and is they have fantastic forms. Of course, we use to make these amphoras, the clay used has been endemic, so that's specific to Armenia, and the thicknesses are different. Our amphoras are among the ones that I've seen around the world are the one of the thickest. And the way we are operating them is unique to Armenia. I have never seen anywhere else, because historically, I mean, I've done all kind of experiments, totally out, totally inside the ground, totally out. But historically, Armenians, and this is the path I have chosen for my today and future, is Armenian amphoras are buried two-thirds in the ground and one-third out of ground. Obviously, this with experience that now I'm working, this gives the best results, at least to me, because by doing this, you have the stability of the liquid on the two-thirds. And then on the one-third, you've got different temperature. So these differences in the temperature keeps the movimentation in the wine. So you have an aging going on with the wine naturally in movement. Nothing is done because of this one-third out. You've got different temperatures and is moving. And then another positive point that you have always the inspection of the wine. You can always, anytime, you can inspect it easily.
You can check on it. And also you use, cement. You use a cement vat for fermentation. And your top wine, the
Yeras
is made from areri aged in clay for 2 years, I believe.
So all my wines, they start the fermentation in concrete tanks, which are cylindrical, no epoxy layers, rough tough concrete tanks. Then for the aging, for all the wines, for Zorak Arasi and Zora Yeras that you were saying, we go inside the amphoras, Armenian amphoras. For Yeras, then, because the aging is long, 2 years, we go in wooden cask, in one big wooden cask, one bote, one big wooden cask. And, but the start is in concrete tanks. The aging, it happens that during the aging, we go back in the concrete tanks because of necessity or whatever, but that's the main.
Absolutely, stabilize everything. And for these, for your premium wines, that you have found a vineyard at like 1,600 meters?
Yeah. Zora as a main vineyard, we are on 1,400 meters where the vineyard and the winery is located. But for Yeras, there is another location. There are small plots on 1,600 meters of elevation. These are ultra-centennial bush vines that we have discovered. And because it is a treasure, it was basically abandoned. Because, as I was saying, Soviet times, quantity was calling the shots. Nobody was giving importance to these vineyards because they were so old, they were giving very low quantity. And the logistics is also very remote. So it was like semi-abandoned. We have revitalized this area, and we make our Yeras wine from these small plots.
There's been a bit of movement now for Armenia. There are few producers coming up, and hopefully there will be more work with this your national grapes. So where do you see the future for Armenian wines?
Armenia is moving very fast. I'm very glad, because what I'm sure and I'm 100% hoping that we can create our category to have Armenian wines as a category in the world. Last 5 to 10 years, there is a strong movement in Armenia, my hope is that we play it right, because we have fantastic terroirs, unknown grape varieties with great potentials to show to the world the real potential of Armenia. So I hope whoever joins the game understands that Armenia is about quality, and I hope we position ourselves in the world market as a quality wine-growing region with its traditional native varieties and traditional aging method, with the clays and with our amphoras, with our native, no phylloxera land, high altitudes and everything. So, I'm very glad, and we will see new things from Armenia for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember, and I found a lot of article when about a tasting that you done in London, where there was a lot of other wines, and there was a few journalists praising your wines because they were very different to anything there, and I think it makes everything very interesting. And I wanted to ask about the Areni as a grape wine. It's sort of the grape that is famous of Armenia. What do you compare it to, if someone haven't tried it? Well,
First of all, if you haven't tried it, you have to try it. Areni you cannot compare it to any other variety because it's so unique to itself. I think it's. But if you want to give a direction to who has never tasted any Areni, you have to expect red fruits, cherry, strong cherry, spices, high acidity, very elegant wine with no, it's like elegance to it without being, without overdoing. It's a wine to try. So it's to explain it. It's you cannot relate it to any other wine that you have ever had. It's unique.
I tried it, and it was beautiful bouquet of flavors, and it had this like nice tannin into it. It was very refreshing. I think it was very interesting, and. What sort of, when you look at the picture of the areas and you see these barren areas, what sort of soil do you have in your areas?
I cannot say all Vajotzor, but I can tell you about my vineyards, and I can say that most of the vineyards are... Zora's got first layer of sand. In the soil, then underneath it's limestone, full of stones, and because of this we got very nice drainage, and mainly is limestone. Our soil is limestone with the first layer of sand.
And talking about the Greater Armenian, just where else is you can find wine from for... Like a part of your region, where else is vineyard are found?
There are lots of. I mean, north of Armenia, I start from north. The climate is more humid, and the altitudes are not that high. Over there, you've got white varieties. Unfortunately, the phylloxera has been there, so everything is grafted there. And then you got also international varieties over there, but we have also native varieties. One of my next wines coming out in Heritage Seri will be a fantastic native. I hope I'm doing experiments. I cannot say names and things. I'm doing experiments. So you got north of Armenia, and which are, as I say, more towards white. You got Ararat Valley. Which is right the valley where the Mount Ararat is. That's a plain, and mainly they are making the grapes for cognac production, for brandy production. You know that Armenia is very famous for its brandies, and we make fantastic brandies. That valley is more about. The grapes for the even if there are other grapes for wine, then we got Artsakh, the disputed land that lately we have had problems over there. We got also a fantastic grape variety over there. So we got also that region. Yeah, there are few in Armenia. It's not only about Vayotzor, but all, as I say, from all the places, Vayotzor is the highest altitude, and whatever I told you before, that's the.
That's and I was also I read some that is the only region in Armenia where you don't have to bury the vines because it doesn't get so cold.
Mainly, apart from north, as I say, the climate is more mild, is more humid, is different. But all the rest of Armenia, being lower, relatively lower, because our low is like 900 meters, 800 meters above sea level. All other regions being lower than Vayotzor, they all, because of harsh winters, last week, Armenia average temperature, minimum temperatures was minus 15, minus 18 centigrade. So they all covered their vines during winter. But in Vayotzor, we don't have that practice. Nobody does it, not only Zora, nobody does it. And that's another sign that the region is really the region for the vine growing.
Vine growing. I mean, there's a potential for also the future with this global warming and movement from whatever region. It's quite, you have a potential with also the grapes that are so well adapted to the heat and this extreme climate, then I think there will be a potential there to see them from around the world, possibly. I don't know if there's anybody around the world who have any planted, but I'm sure there's someone out there. There are. And I wanted,
or maybe they will do it.
They maybe, absolutely. And I was wanted to ask the last couple of questions. I remember you were... I saw that you were doing also a project with your local school about teaching how to make the amphoras.
Yeah, that's a project. That's a big project. We have started, but I must say we have started. But this project is about reviving the art and the craftsmanship of doing amphoras. In Armenia, Karas is in Armenia, because I am ashamed of saying that having the oldest winery in the world, where inside they found the amphoras. They didn't find the wines there. They found amphoras, and they related it to the wine. So this vessel has been, and it is our national heritage. But unfortunately, we don't have any craftsmanship in Armenia that is able to make these big karasses. I mean, they make small pots, but I'm talking about 1,000, 1,500 liter big karasses. The craftsmanship is lost.
Oh, wow.
But this project that we are starting, I mean, we have already started, but we need more sensibility also from government and other funds to be able to make it arrive to the level that we think that can be positive. So this project basically is to revive this art, and we are in collaboration. I mean, we have had collaboration with also Fontodi in Chianti, because they have also a production of amphoras. So we have exchanged some informations. We have done some analysis with our endemic clays in Chianti to understand. And we are hoping in their help when we will have the possibility to move to have their advices.
Historically, the amphoras in Armenia, they would be quite big, I think, quite large compared to... What you see? I mean,
we got all the sizes, but obviously, if you are thinking to use it in the winery, because I in my winery I have all different sizes. I have also 200, 300, 500 liters, but less than 500 liters, it is a little bit too much for a winery, because then it's too many different vessels, and it's not Logistically, is not possible. Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry. It was fantastic to have a chat with you and to learn about Armenia and about your wines and your projects. And I'm very excited to when they will be available to try your Hermitage and discover some new grapes, which is always something
Heritage.
And thank you for your time today. And if you have any couple of words or anything.
No, my pleasure, Mattia. It's been very nice to be in this podcast, and I wish you luck and hope to see you soon in Armenia.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Pleasure, Mattia.
I want to thank today's guest, Yeras Garibian, owner of Zara Wines in Armenia. I would like to also give a shout out to this podcast, On the Road with Chuck Kramer. If you're after interviews with producers and interesting topics regarding Californian wine, that's the podcast that you're looking for. Remember to hit the follow button to know all the podcasts that are coming out and to tell your friends about it. You can reach us on social media, so on Instagram on mattia.lookinginitowine and Mattia Scarpazza on all the other social medias. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can donate on mattiascarpazza.com. Music produced by Samuele Di Nardo, editing and mastering by Tommaso Ascoli.